I'm really happy to be here, happy to see you. If you have your Bibles, would you like to be, if you want to, would you be turning to Luke chapter 1? Luke chapter 1. And this is where we're going to pick up our lesson from the life of Christ, Jesus the Christ. Yeah, we have seen, yeah, Luke chapter 1. And then I'll give you the verses, you can just point out maybe verse 26 on. We're going to start reading around verse 26. And, one, please. Luke 1. We have been talking about, Jesus the Christ, and our first lesson was on regard of his, pre-existence and his, role in creation as the Word. Not as Jesus Christ, not as the Christ, but as the Word, pre-existent. Pre-incarnated, and then the lesson after that was some of the prophecies concerning the Christ, which there are many of those in the Old Testament. Some of those prophecies, if he wanted to fake them, pretend to be the Christ, he could have done it because some of those prophecies were available. But when we think about his birth, there's nothing he could have done on that sense. When we think about his place of birth. There's nothing he could have done. So it tells us that all these prophecies are true indeed. And he fulfilled all of them, which was, it's highly unlikely for anybody to have fulfilled them, the way Christ did them, fulfilled them. It would be really improbable for somebody to fulfill all of them. And now this lesson today, we're not going to start on the life of Christ yet. We will, next class on Wednesday, Lord willing. But we're going to look briefly. I wouldn't want to skip two important characters of persons in the life of Christ just before he was born. And you might be already thinking about who I have in mind. And we're going to talk today about some of the events before his birth. And we're going to focus on just these two characters today. This morning, one of them being Mary, which is here in Luke chapter 1, and the other one being Joseph, which is we find in Matthew chapter 1. So we can learn about these two characters, special characters in the life of our Lord, Jesus the Christ. And it certainly takes good parents to be the parent of just any child. Now imagine being the parent of the Son of God himself. That requires special parents. That's why Mary was blessed among all women to be chosen to provide for the physical body of our Lord. And they not only did provide, but they also took responsibility of him as a child on his family. So we can learn a lot about these two characters. So let's move on before time goes by. There's a lot we can say, but let's try to just focus on the main lessons of what we can see just right at our eyes from this text. Okay, we're going to start verse 26. Luke 1, 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, the writer is telling us here that it's been 6 months since the conception of John the Baptist. He's already 6 months ahead. Elizabeth, pregnant with John the Baptist. So, in the 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee. Now, notice angels or archangels, something Gabriel was an archangel as well, as though the Bible doesn't explicitly mention him as an archangel. But they are under the authority of God. They follow instructions. They're, even though they have free will, they are servants of God. And they don't do just whatever they please to do. They're sent. That's why they're called messengers. They're sent ones. So, he comes to Mary and it's only Luke that mentions the town where Mary was living at the moment. the town of Nazareth. This town is not mentioned in the Old Testament, and neither is mentioned by this famous Jew writer, Josephus. He doesn't mention this town either. But this tells us not that the Bible is wrong. It tells us that this town, this city was really small and maybe insignificant to be noticed by the books of history. So this is where Mary lives, a very small town. I like San Angelo, it's small, and I like small towns. I used to go visit my relatives at Houston. And those of you that have been there or spent time, you know that's not small town. And those freeways get busy early in the morning. And I just don't like it. Don't like it much. If I was going to live and work just a couple of blocks, I mean, I'll be grateful to live there. But, so now here in San Angelo, you need to go get your license. You need to go register your car. You need to do any errand. Go to the doctor. It's just right here. Just by, minutes reach. So I like that. Mary. Well, by the way, Monterey is just like Houston. So if you've heard of Monterey, Monterey is is big. It's really busy. So Nazareth is a very small city and unnoticed by some of the history writers. And now, let's move on. I'm in verse 26. Well, Galilee is on the north side of Palestine. The land of Galilee, you know where the Sea of Galilee is, and it's on the north side, and it was made of four, what used to be the tribe of Zebulun, Naphtali, Issachar, and Asher in the north. Those were the ones who conformed what was known as Galilee at the time, and that's where Nazareth was, and that's where Jesus grew up, in that small city. So the angel comes to this virgin named Mary, and now verse 27, came to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now it's very important, I just want to mention briefly about this word spouse, or betrothed, in other words, engage. And these Jewish customs of engagement were really special. It was so sacred, this betrothing or this engagement was so sacred that both parties entering into it could not be separated save by a bill of divorce. So the Jews usually engaged their couples about a year or so before they got married. So it was an engagement, and this was a sacred engagement, something very special. And it was so sacred also that any unfaithfulness in this engagement was considered adultery, even though it was an engagement. That's the way they managed it. And it was like if they were married. And as so, it was punished by death. And we can read about this in Deuteronomy chapter 22. And in the book of Leviticus, chapter 20, the punishment could be stoned by death. Dead by stones. In other words, not stoned by death, as dead by stones, as what I try to say. So it was very, very binding. It was an important commitment. And learning from their customs, we can understand nowadays how sometimes maybe this type of relationships are more loosed in our culture, as this engagement was considered being married. Although they were engaged, they did not live together until they got married officially after that betrothal time or engagement time. So this was very important. And I'm mentioning this because when Mary receives the news, you're going to read about how she reacted, as any of you women would have reacted, I imagine, if you were told something of the sort. But now, and her name was Mary. Well, Mary, this name Mary, is just the same name in the Hebrew Bible. When we read about Moses' sister, who remembers what her name was? Miriam, yes. So some of the names, they're brought into Greek, and some of the vowels from the Hebrew to Greek, they don't translate word for word, so the Greek has to accommodate a few words or details to make it sound in Greek. So this word for Miriam was Miriam, Miriam. That's the way it was spelled in Hebrew, Miriam. So when they brought it to Greek, it was spelled Mariam, Mariam. And then also Maria, which that's where the Spanish word Maria comes. And of course the English word Mary comes from that. But it comes from Miriam, which is the same name as Moses' wife, Miriam. So same thing, just translated into Greek, it comes to be Mary. So we have Mary here, and the New Testament speaks about several Marys in the New Testament. But when we focus on this Mary, we're going to notice that there are in the New Testament seven, what we can call glimpses, or seven portraits or accounts of Mary in the Bible. Who remembers where else Mary is mentioned in the New Testament? Well, Mary, the mother of Jesus, doing something in the New Testament. Okay, she was there at the cross with John, okay, the beloved apostle. She was the one that motivated Jesus to turn the water into wine, do something about the feast. Correct, that's two. What else? There's seven of them. One of them being this one right here in Luke. What else can we think about? Okay, there's that account where she is taking care of Jesus as a little kid at the cross. He was reproving as a reproving parent. She's also mentioned twice as a pondering mother. She's pondering. She's thinking about what's going on. And she's thinking about, in Luke we read about her, thinking about the events when Jesus was born, how the shepherds came, and she's pondering about it. And then when she came back from getting Jesus at the temple, when he was left behind, or he stayed behind, she was also pondering about what happened. Just imagine this kind of really godly woman thinking about on her heart what's happening. So yeah, and lastly, there's one important time she's mentioned as well. Okay, correct. Yes. And we're going to go, I'm counting that as one together with this chapter. Correct. That doesn't count. Okay. There's one more. Let's see who can remember. One last time. This is going to give you a big clue. One last time Mary is mentioned. And that's it. Okay. It's later after that. You're going to see her as a disciple praying where? In the book of Acts, she was with the disciples praying at this, what is called in the upper room. She is mentioned in the book of Acts for the last time. Mary, the mother of Jesus as well. And there's seven times she's mentioned, like glimpses or small accounts. You can tell us, Brother Clyde. I know you're trying to keep your knowledge, and then not try to, but you can say something too. I'm just teasing you, brother. But okay, let's keep on reading. Okay, verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And this word, hail, I don't know exactly what it means, so I just looked it up real quick. And this word, I may not be pronouncing it correctly, but it's that word on verse 28, hail. It's from the Greek word, hairo. You remember a character, Bible character, that is named like this? Sounds like a Bible character. Hairo, Jairo. So it's the same word from Jairus, the Bible character named Jairus, or mentioned in the New Testament, is the same word haido here. And it means it's a formal greeting that is wishing one well, wishing you well. This word hail, wish you well. It's an ancient greeting. Okay? So he greets Mary. But notice when she's greeted, notice how she reacts, verse 29. And when she saw him, she was what? Was she happy? Was she excited? She was waiting for him? Or she was troubled? Okay? In other words, she was confused. She was perplexed. Have you ever felt in that situation, being confused or perplexed? Something happened that you just did not expect it, or just caught your attention? And this is Mary. She's troubled at what she's seeing. Sometimes when we see an accident happen, we get this type of emotion, and probably women get them as well. But you get perplexed and astonished, or like trouble. And that's the way she felt. It wasn't like very good news right at the beginning. So this is the way she felt. Okay, but usually, and the Bible talks about it, sometimes it began with sorrow, with being shocked, but at the end, it turned out to be very joyful when she understood what was all about. And it could be the same with us. We might be shocked at first impression of something that happened to us, but we know at the end, we're going to be joyful when we endure whatever we think is against us, or is shocking at us, or something that we don't see is makes sense at the begining, and we're stressed about it. But we'll see the joy at the end. We certainly will, if we remain faithful Christians. Okay, so she was troubled. Now let me just move on more quicker. Verse 30. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Very interesting, this word, "fear not." I looked it up. It's 71 times in the whole Bible, "fear not" is mentioned. And as far as Luke, it's mentioned 9 times. But 2 of those times is in regard of that judge who did not fear God. The book of Luke says he didn't fear God. So there's 7 actual "fear nots" in the book of Luke, in the Gospel of Luke. Now imagine if this word is not important for us, if God doesn't understand how we can feel at times. And I'll tell you, I'll feel fear. Certain things that cause me fear, and I'm sure there's things that cause you fear. And we have to just face those fears. And just, sometimes it's just our mind. There's nothing true about it. Just our mind. And, but, the angel told Mary, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. There's nothing for you to be afraid. Might look frightening. This news might shock you. You might be confused. But just fear not. Stay calm. There's nothing on this that you need to be fearful about." And this is how the Christian ought to be. Because perfect love, according to 1 John 4:18, perfect love cast away what? Fear. And that's it. A fear. And we need not to be fearful of punishment. We don't need to be fearful of anything that can harm our souls in this life. We don't need to be fearful of anything concerning material things. I mean, God is the one that takes care of us. And he tells Mary, "Fear not, that for us not to fear." So she was told not to fear, for she had found favor before God. Okay, now, verse 31. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Now, he's telling her what's going to happen. Okay, we can talk more about what Jesus means and so on. But let's move on. Verse 32. "And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." I'm reading the Fourfold Gospel. If you don't have that book on your libraries, from Garvey, Fourfold Gospel, it's just very insightful as to the New Testament concerns. And he mentions that probably something, well, at least I haven't thought about, but he mentions that as we read this verse, the Lord God shall give unto him a kingdom. Notice this kingdom was to be given to him from God. This kingdom was not going to be received by a bribe from Satan. You know, remember what I'm talking about? How Satan, Matthew chapter 4, offered the kingdom of the earth to Jesus as a bribe or as a recompense for worshiping him. And it was neither was going to be received by force of arm or with an army, with a war, like the Jews wanted the kingdom to be established. When they took him, the multitude took him to crown him a king, as a king, it was not going to work that way. But this kingdom is the gift of God, given to Jesus Christ. It was given to him. So, verse 33. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now let's go back to Mary. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How do you see this answer from Mary? Do you see her? Is she doubtful? Is she challenging the angel? Or is she asking a pertinent question? How do you see her attitude based on this question? She doesn't understand, but yeah, correct. And doesn't understand, but how do you see her attitude? Is she being trying to be thoughtful of what's going on? Correct. You can almost tell quite often what attitude is behind a question. Depends on the way the question is asked. Depends on the way the question is worded. We can tell this, the attitude of Mary is of one trying to understand, trying to cooperate with the angel. She's saying, well, how is this so, seeing that I know not a man? She's asking a fair question in a good attitude. So it's surprise, mainly. She's surprised. How is this going to be? It's not unbelief. I don't think she's doubting. I wouldn't see her as doubting. And you, if we read the rest of the story, you'll see that she's not doubting. She's just surprised at what's going on, what she's being told. So she was gonna conceive, in her womb. Now, verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Beautiful description of how she was going to conceive. These New Testament writers are very careful to say explicitly where this child was going to come from. They're explicit. They're not leaving it to doubt. Would you imagine if they didn't explicitly say, oh, the Bible would be even more attacked today. Saying, well, Mary just was not a virgin. Who knows where that baby came from? No, they don't live in any doubt. He's saying it's going to be from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is going to help provide for that body in Mary's womb. Okay? And if you want to stop me anytime, you can. There's a lot of verses just trying to be moving on, but you're welcome I wouldn't get angry if we don't finish the material. I'm sure you will get angry if I keep on going on after the bell has rung. But okay, let's keep on reading. And the angel answered, okay, that's verse 35. Now verse 36. Notice something important. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Elizabeth has also conceived. Now, the story of Elizabeth and Zachariah is a little bit different. They doubted. At least Zachariah doubted. is different as Mary. He doubted. And because he doubted, what was it that he received? He was just mute from the rest of the pregnancy. Can you imagine that being like that for about 9 months, 48, about, I forgot how many weeks, but about 9 months. Is that 42 weeks? 48? 36? Okay. Oh yeah. Okay. Well, it's just something hard. Once the baby's born, we feel like the pregnancy was just really, really quick. But during the pregnancy, especially in the last couple of weeks, you need to get a hold of your patience, because you want the day to arrive, and you want the day to arrive, and it doesn't arrive, and is it going to be today? No, you need to wait. And that's why Nancy and I just caught us by surprise. We were just, something probably miscalculated the date, we don't know what happened, but Sunday evening, she wasn't just feeling well. She was very uncomfortable. And then Monday, really, 3 a.m. in the morning, she was really feeling pain. And I said, well, let's just go check you up. And we went to the doctor. And I said, well, if nothing happened, well, we just come back to the house. I mean, let's go check you. And when they check her, she had 7 centimeters, dilatation. And they said, take her to the delivery room right away. And then it wasn't long after that she was born. And it caught us all by surprise that none of her relatives were here. And a lot of them wanted to be here. And But it was just a big surprise. So we're grateful for that. So the last days, you need to be very patient. Okay, so Mary believed. Okay, she had a different attitude. Now, let's keep on reading. There's a whole lot more to read. Verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. What a beautiful verse. For God nothing shall be impossible. I like that verse, this verse a lot. Verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, she has this attitude. She said, well, be it according to God. I am here to serve. I'm here, bond servant. Same word Paul uses in some of his introductions. He presents himself as a bond servant. This is the same word, but in feminine. She said, here's the handmaid. He's the servant of the Lord. Just be done to me according to your word. Yes, Brother Larry. Yes. Mm-hmm. Correct. Yes. Good comment. And thank you for that comment, brother. You're right. And also, she said, be it unto me, let it be so, according to thy word, in a prayerful sense. She's wishing. Not only is she believing, but she's wishing, she's praying for that. She said, be it so. Let it happen. And the angel departed from her. So God did not make a mistake. He chose the right woman, and we see the right attitude on this woman. And we're going to see the same attitude in Joseph as well when we get there. Now I'm just going to read real briefly what happens next. It's that Mary goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth down south in Judah. She travels south, and going south means going up the mountains. And then she goes and visits her. And then this is what happens beginning verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Now, if you already begin reading Luke from the beginning, you understand who Zacharias and Elizabeth are and what happened with them. So she comes and visits them, and then it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Beautiful description of what happened. And this word babe, and it's, maybe it's pertinent to be mentioned, but this word babe, from the word, Greek word, brephos, is also used in other references in the scripture. When little children are mentioned, for instance, if somebody would like to read Luke 18:15, please, and if somebody else would like to read Acts 7:19, and then both of these verses use the same Greek word, brephos, to refer to a child that is outside of the womb. Let's see, Luke 18:15, just a little bit in front where we are. Correct. Thank you, Josh. Infants. Brephos. Okay. Did somebody else look Acts 7:19? Let's see if I can find it. Acts 7:19. The same dealt softly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers so that they cast all their young children. Okay. Okay, same word, children. And what point am I trying to make? Just real briefly, I'm trying to make the point that this baby, babe, as the King James describes it, babe, is the same word used for a children. So what does that imply? It implies that, if he's inside the womb, he's still it's a child. It's a person. Even so that the Spirit calls him a he. The angel says, it's he. It's a boy. Wait a minute, but wasn't what's inside the womb a fetus? I mean, who cares if it's boy or girl? Just a fetus? It's a boy. Both of them are boys. And it's the same, using the same word as a little kid. Little kid walking around, little kid being fed by mom in the womb. Same word. Because, the Bible teaches that life begins at conception. So, this, something that we can learn about from this, verse. So, then moving on. And then, and she spake out in a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And when is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. This is what Elizabeth says. And notice the last words she said in verse 45. And blessed is she that believed. Don't you think she might be reflecting on what happened to her husband in their case? How there was doubt? But now she's saying, blessed is he who believes. You know why? Because for there shall be a performance of those things which were told of her from the Lord. If you believe, if Mary believed, now we go to Joseph's account. If Joseph believed, what were they going to do? Just say, okay, yes, sounds good. I believe you. If they believed, what was going to be the outcome? Those things that were told from the Lord were going to be fulfilled or performed, as the King James has it. But they will be fulfilled because they believed. They went ahead and did what was told them for them to do. So Mary accepted being pregnant from this child. And Joseph also accepted being the father of this woman, her fiancé, which was being pregnant from the Holy Ghost. And they both believed. And they went ahead and carried with the wedding as normal custom because they believed. If they had not believed, they said, well, this is all a lie. This is not true. Or if only they would have said, oh yes, we believe, and then they cross hands and done nothing. Would that mean believing? They showed they believed because they went ahead and did what they were told to do. And that's what Bible faith means. Just doing what you're told to do. It's not just saying, closing your eyes and saying, yes, I got you, I believe you, and stay there. Am I explaining myself here? So, Elizabeth said, blessed is her that believe, okay? Now, I'm going to just go real quick. what happens next is Mary is very joyful. And notice from verse 46 through 48, those three first verses of this Mary song known as the Magnificat, or because she's magnifying the Lord. The first three verses, she speaks of herself and her adoration toward God for his condescending blessing. Those three verses. First three verses. Now, verse 49 through 50, two more verses, 49 and 15, we see Mary glorifying God for his power, holiness, and mercy. And now verse 51, 52, and 50, just 51 and 52, notice what it says here. I'm not undermining the rest, I'm just moving because of the time. But I want to point out here, he had verse 51, he had showed strength with his arm. He had scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He had put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He had filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he had sent empty away. Have you ever thought about what this means, what Mary is saying right here? What is she talking about? Say that, Brother Mike. Okay, yes, correct. And where were the, remember trying to recall exactly, when the Magi came, and then they were sent for some priest, and they were asked, where is the Christ supposed to be born? And they said, well, supposed to be born, according to the scriptures, in Bethlehem. Okay, they knew where, but they were expecting him to be born where? Do you think they were expecting him to be born in a manger, whose mother was going to be a really humble young lady from a really small town of Nazareth? There were no hope. They were thinking he was going to come from a really wealthy family or coming from a different type of background. But this expression, what they are, they're hyperboles, they're exaggerations for the disappointment. There is a disappointment of the proud. The proud, the rich, and whose family the Messiah was expected to be born. And Mary realizes this, realizing how humble she is. She's saying, none of that happened. On the other hand, it came to the very simple people. Like us, like this humble servant, she was thinking of herself. And then last two verses, and then we'll go to Matthew 1 for the rest of the time, which is almost done. And last two verses are the closing of the hymn, and just an expression of gratitude for his faithfulness in keeping her with her covenant. Okay, let's turn to Matthew 1, and then this will conclude our lesson today. And we're going to give an opportunity to see the character of Joseph. And I just want to mention briefly a few things we can pick up from here. But Matthew 1, starting in verse 18. Matthew 1, 18. Now the word of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Okay, we already talked about the engagement. Okay, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. He realized she was pregnant. He had the right to give her a bill of divorce, which was going to put her to shame before the people that realized that he has to state the reason. And it was going to be really shameful for this person he loves so much to be put to death or to be punished like this. And he said, first thing, I'm not going to continue with this marriage because I'm a just man. Second, I'm not going to deal unjust with her because I still love her. And I'm going to put her away privately. But then, on a dream, verse 20, but what he thought on these things, notice, he was thinking about these things. He didn't act in anger. He didn't act without thinking. And God blesses those who are thoughtful, those who reflect on God's godly things. But when he thought these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And a dream came to Joseph. And what did he do after the dream? He obeyed instructions that he received from from the angel that appeared to him in a dream. Okay, Now, verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which we interpreting is God with us." Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. One last thing I want to point out. Joseph legally recognized Jesus as his son, legally, by marrying Mary. He married Mary, recognizes. Would you imagine, although Joseph's name was a humble name, he spared the Lord Jesus from the shame of being born without a parent. See what happened? This just man, Joseph, he obeyed, he was acting justly even before the angel came to him. But after the angel came to him, he knew better now what to do. And he went ahead and did it like that. And he took that responsibility. And then, don't you think he was afraid? Imagine just raising a child. I was just afraid to death when I became a father for the first time. Now imagine raising the Son of God. The responsibility of raising that little baby, that little child. Where are you going to teach him? How are you going to guide him? He was fearful as well. He was fearful for his name, being losing his marriage. He was fearful for what was going to happen if he had to divorce Mary. But now imagine the fearfulness when he was told that he was going to raise not a regular child, but God in a body, God in the flesh. So these are some of the events, just really briefly, of what happened before Jesus' birth. Is there any comments? Yes, brother, please. Appear in two different ways. And quite often God used dreams to convey a message. How can they tell it wasn't a regular dream? We don't know. But they knew that it was a dream from God. They saw the vividness. They saw something in that dream and they knew this is not a regular dream. This is a message from God. Okay, any other comments? Alright. Well, thank you so much for your attention, and I'm really enjoying just learning and reading about the life of Christ. Thank you so much for your attention. God bless you.